Good morning. What a blessing to be here. You may stay standing, and we'll have prayer here in a little bit. But it's a blessing to be together in this way this morning. A lot of memories come back when we showed up here this morning and got together and prayed, and I just felt the Spirit of God being with you here. So this morning, I'm going to ask Brother Mark to come up here and pray for me. My wife told me this morning I seem nervous when I preach, so could you pray for that?
Be happy to do that, brother. Yeah. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good privilege to be together here, and
yes.
Thank you for bringing Joe here and share the gospel with us. And he's a bit nervous, but I'd ask, Lord, that you'd give him a calmness of heart,
yes,
and fill his heart with peace. And ask, Lord, that you would fill him anew and afresh with the Holy Spirit, and just give him the ability to preach the word with freedom and boldness. And ask God that you would especially speak to our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
You know, all of us, we're here, and we're opening our hearts to you, and we ask that you would help all of us to draw nigh to you with a true heart.
Yes.
So bless Brother Joe as he preaches. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. You may be seated. Friday afternoon, found out I was preaching. I didn't have anything on my heart, and it wasn't very long after that Lord laid something on my heart. I got a phone call that a very good friend of mine got killed that day. And it grieved and it burdened my heart. I'd spent a lot of time with him. I didn't have near as much contact with him the last 3 years, 2.5 years, than I used to have. But this is a man that he was willing to talk about the Word of God. And he appreciated talking about the Word of God, but the fruits were not there of a Christian life. And it burned my heart. Did I share enough? Did I take the opportunity every time chance I had to really share the Word of God? And he needs to change things in his life. Even though he professed that he knew the Lord and he walked with the Lord, I'm not here to judge, but was he prepared? I'm hoping he had the opportunity to repent before his death of some things in his life. So I'd like to start this morning reading a scripture, or reading a story. Then I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 6. This story, it's titled that, What Needs Fixing? We first notice when we have a problem where we slip on the ice on your driveway, wondering, why is there so much ice? You go into the house and find water flooding the kitchen. Then you hear the loud gushing that signals a burst pipe. Now you have three problems: ice on the driveway, a flooded kitchen, and a bursted pipe. Before you get rid of the ice or mop up the kitchen, you realize you must first fix the broken pipe. There are three basic things wrong with men. First, we are slaves of sin. Second, we engage in impurity and lawlessness. Third, we're headed for death and eternal doom. These things are all related. Because we are what we are, we've done what we've done. Because we've done what we've done, we're going where we're going. I'll read that again. Because we are what we are, we've done what we've done, because we've done what we've done, we're going where we're going. If a man is to be reconstructed to match the divine design, it will not do simply to fix that what he has done wrong or to rescue him from what he's doing. That would be like mopping up the kitchen, chipping the ice off the driveway, and leaving the broken pipe gushing water. Man himself needs to be changed. The good news of the gospel is all about this change and its consequences. Paul describes in graphic terms, now you are free from the power of sin and have become the slaves of God. As a result of embracing the message of the gospel, submitting to God's gracious control, and receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, a man learns that the penalty of sin has been removed and that his eternal destiny has been changed. Progressively, he also realizes that sin no longer has the same power to dominate him. This inclination leans more and more towards the things that lead to holiness. God is busy changing man's destiny, forgiving that they have done, and changing them from the inside out. Evidence of God's workmanship can be seen on every hand. There is no mistaking the difference between a slave of righteousness and a slave of sin. When a man has been changed by God, what he is different. What he does is different. And where he's going is different. What a difference. So I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 12 here. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members and instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because you are under the law? Not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether a sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Can we say that from our heart this morning? Can we truly say that from our heart? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from the sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members service to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye when in these things thereof you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now being made free from sin, who became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today I'd like to bring out the seriousness of life. Thank you, Brother David, for sharing revelation that goes with my message here today. But if we think of the seriousness of life, it is a very serious thing that as we are going through life to take things serious. I'm going to read a couple verses here yet in Acts chapter 1. going to start in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, this is what Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto both Jerusalem and the Judea and Samaritan, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which he also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus is going to be returning. As ye have seen him go, so he will come again. What then? What then? When he returns, what then? If we would die right now, where would we be going? Would our family question where? Would our friends question where? Would our church question where? Would our co-workers question where? Right now, do you have a question yourself? Where? The title of my message is Eternity. Friday morning, a little after 5 o'clock, heading for prayer meeting, and it was really, really foggy. Probably foggier than I have seen it in a long time. And I was running a little bit behind, and so I was in a hurry, and all at once, right in front of me, there was 3 deer. And I slammed on the brake, and I'm still not sure how I missed that one, but it didn't hit. And I believe if it wouldn't have been foggy, I probably would have seen them, and it wouldn't have been a close call. And I had to think. I guess the question is this our life? Is our life a little bit foggy? Is it just a little foggy? And just a little bit later, all at once, same fog, probably 3 minutes later, it was so foggy, and all at once, I don't like hitting coons, especially the big ones, because it's hard on my bumper. And all at once, there was this coon right there. It just sat down right in the middle of the road, and I run right over it, killed it, or I assume I did. And I had to think, is that our life? We're living in a fog, and we don't see the dangers coming, and it's not going to end up killing us. Where are we at today? Are we living in a fog? Eternity. I can only find eternity once in the Bible, and I'd like to turn to that, the actual word eternity. And that is in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and the holy, for thus says the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite one. So God brings out his absolute greatness, his holiness, his eternal character. Eternity means duration without limits. Duration without limits. I looked up the word duration. And I don't think we can really comprehend eternity. In my mind, I just cannot really wrap around in my mind eternity, because we're living in a time of time. And so eternity, I'd like to just bring out the duration without limits. So I looked up what's the opposite of duration. The opposite is end, expiration, stoppage, terminate, halt, finish, close. Durations without limits. It is forever past and forever future, joined together. Forever past, forever future, joined together. And it's difficult to explain. God's character is high, holy, and eternal. God wants us to understand that He exists before the world was created and before the mountains. And if we can just get a little glimpse of some of this, and I'm going to get some scriptures here in Psalms 90. And try to get a little glimpse of this in Psalms chapter 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to the everlasting, Thou art God. From the everlasting to the everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of man. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as watch in the night. Verse 10 in the same chapter. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, which is 70 years. And if by reason our strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger, even according to the fear, so is thy wrath. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some man count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's all of us in here. The Lord doesn't want any of us to perish in here, but that we come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, therein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent and heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. Therein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Like I said, I really can't explain eternity in full. Time is related to eternity. We put everything in our minds, we think of time. The beginning of the world, It was the beginning of the world, and then there's a span of time, then it's the end of the world. So we're living in this short span of time. And the end of this world, when our time is up, there shall be no more time. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it says, And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and there shall be no time no longer. Time is but a little span before the beginning of the world and the end of the world. It is a matter of time. Time will no longer be. Us in relationship to eternity. God gave us, we could look at Genesis chapter 2, but God gave us a living soul. Every one of us in here has a living soul. And every one of us in here is going to spend eternity somewhere. Every one of us in here, the time is going to stop, and we're going to be in eternity somewhere. We're always going to be somewhere. Our soul, when it was created, it never ceases. Our lifespan is the time God gives us to prepare for eternity. So the short time we are here, God is giving to us for eternity. Time is priceless. And let's not waste it. We all sooner or later will leave time and enter into eternity. From the moment we are born till the moment we die. Time passing, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. Every day, every second, every minute, it brings us closer to eternity. Death is a gateway to eternity. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but it says, but after this, the judgment. Each moment brings us closer and closer to death. And if we think of that, let's put a line right here. Here's a line of eternity right here, the carpet area. And the minute I stepped up here and I started preaching, I was closer to my eternity. I'm closer to eternity. I'm getting closer to eternity all the time. I don't know when that time is, when eternity will be no longer. And at death, we step over this line, and we're in eternity. We're in eternity forevermore, where there is no longer time. We no longer can change things. My friend can't, that just got killed. He can't change anything. He's in eternity, and I'm not here to judge him. But are we prepared to step over that line into eternity? Are we prepared for that today? 1 Samuel 20, verse 3 says, there is but a step between me and death. There's a step between me and death. On a tombstone it said, reader friend, stop and think. I am in eternity. You are on the brink. I'm in eternity. You are on the brink. There are two destinies in eternity. Matthew 25:46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So we're going one place or the other. It's either heaven or hell. And my friends, as we're together here today, let's make sure of our election and our calling and our election. Let's make it sure. Hell is eternal. Hell is a judgment for sin. Hell is terror and suffering beyond description. Here's some Bible description of hell. And we heard some of it this morning already. Devouring fire in Isaiah 33:14. I don't think I'm going to give all the reference here. Everlasting burnings. This is the description of hell. This is the choice we are making as we are going through life in our short span of time. When we get to this line and we step into death. Furnace of fire. Unquenchable fire. Hellfire. Damnation of hell. Outer darkness. Everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. Where the worm dieth not. Mentions of eternal fire, smoke of their torment as ascends forever and ever, lake of fire burning with brimstone. All of us, apart from Christ, will go there. Jesus describes the road to hell as broad. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. That is eternal dying and going to hell. There in Romans 6. Once we enter into that place, there is no escaping. And this is a very familiar account probably with all of us, and I'm going to turn to it. Let's just try to get the heart of this. Let's just try to, we're one as we're sitting here today in Luke chapter 16. This is one of us here. We're one or the other, I could say. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores. So there was two different men here. And both of them, as we keep reading, we'll find out that both of them faced eternity. And desiring to be, this poor man laying at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. So here we see the beggar died. And was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So the rich man died and he was buried. And in hell, the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment. And this flame. And this is what Abraham said. Son, remember. The rich man is there today. Son, remember that thou dost in thy lifetime receive the good things. And likewise, Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. There is such a difference. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. so that they which could pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify in them, lest they also come into the place of torment. He didn't want his brothers to come to this awful, wicked place, this awful torment, this burning, as he described it, torment in his flame. Abraham says unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they shall repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I must say, we have the Word of God. We can have the Holy Spirit. And we can get clear direction out of the Word of God. But there are so many people that are not persuaded. We determine our eternity. We determine our eternal destiny during our time. This time we are on the earth. We determine our destiny, where we're going. Now let's look at heaven. And let's ask ourselves, if we're here today and we're not prepared, or if we're here today and things are just a little foggy, we're not quite clear, let's think of these two different places, heaven and hell. Heaven, this destiny is only possible by the grace of God and the works of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The bliss and the joy of the eternity in heaven is beyond this description. As we heard Revelation being read, I don't think we can wrap our mind around, for those that are the saints of God, wrap our minds around how that will really be once we enter into heaven. They shall reign forever. The Word of God says in Revelation 22:5, it says, for they shall reign forever and ever. In his presence in the fullness of joy, in Psalms, shine as stars forever and ever. This is eternity in heaven, my friends. Eternal redemption, eternal salvation, eternal weight of glory, eternal inheritance, gift of God is eternal life, incorruptible, undefiled, permanent inheritance. Permanent inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we look at a couple of the verses here, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What a blessing! Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Therein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, which is betried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though through now ye see him not, ye believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What a difference. What a difference between heaven and hell. And it is up to us. It is our choice where we're going to spend eternity. And if we take the two and we weigh them, and we look at the difference between heaven and hell, choosing our eternity. Man chooses hell for eternity when he neglects to receive God's provision for his salvation. Some neglect it because they don't believe God's warning. There are so many excuses out there. God neglects it. Some neglect it because they don't wish to confess. Because they don't wish to confess. Their sins and admit they're lost. Others are absorbed in the pleasures of this world. Others are overcome by bitterness and don't want to forgive. For whatever reason, if they neglect God's salvation, they're choosing hell for their eternal destination. Let's turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. I'm going to start in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve. We have an opportunity today. We should be deciding who are we going to be serving. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Ammonites and those lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I believe that's a purpose we have, the purpose in our heart, that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we willing to go all the way? See, we can say all the right things and try to do all the right things. But what are really the fruits coming out of it? And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our father out of the land of Egypt from that bondage they were in. God is the one that brings us out of that bondage of sin. He sets us on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. He delivers us from sin. But there's still so many people that are willing. They want to look back into Egypt. And they want to go back to Egypt. Things come up in life. Struggles. But there is overcoming power. For the Lord our God is he that brought us up and our father out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, that which did these greater signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way therein we went and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Ammonites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. We will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witness against yourselves that ye have chosen you in the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, says he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and sent them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under the oak that was the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it is hath heard all the words of the Lord which ye spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto ye, lest ye deny your God. I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Get some verses there yet. I'm going to start in verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong these days upon the land which thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. What are we choosing? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto his father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. The Jews' heaven requires admitting our lost condition. We need to admit to our lost condition. We need to repent of our sins and come to faith. Come to God in faith for forgiveness. You know, we need to fully surrender our life to his will. And I believe that is where a lot of times we just don't want to completely surrender our life and our will. Or maybe there is unforgiveness. It turns into bitterness. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man cometh to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That is why Jesus came, to deliver us, to set us free from our bondages, to set us, to deliver us, so we can go all the way with him. I may have shared this before, but Ezekiel talks about deeper waters. It talks about walking in the waters up to the ankles. Talks about walking in the waters up to the knees. Then it talks about walking in waters up to the loins. And then it talks about waters to swim in. And I always like to look at it this way. Do we want to go all the way? If we only go in the waters to the ankle deep, it is hard to turn around and walk right back out. You know, we go all the way, we go up to our knees, we can still go around, turn around very fairly easy. But the deeper the water gets, the harder it is to turn around and get out very quick. But waters to swim in. We want to go all the way. I always said this. If we build a pond and we build a diving board in the pond there, where would we put the diving board? At the shallow end or at the deep end? We put it at the deep end because we want to go all the way. We don't want to get hurt. Are we willing today to go all the way? Like I said, we can say all the right things. We can do all the right things. Or pretend to be doing all the right things. That's my burden today. That we're not just pretending. That we're not just saying. But that the Lord Jesus Christ is our life. And that we are leaving a testimony behind when we step into eternity. That our friends, that our family, that our church people, that our neighbors, that our co-workers don't have to question. Because I believe if the Lord is working in our lives and the Spirit of God is upon our lives, I believe there's an enabling power that we can overcome anything, all sin, all unforgiveness, all bitterness, all lying, all lustful thoughts. Because God made it available to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to just sit here and try to say all the right things. But we can really be filled with the joy and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and have that peace, and we can have that confidence as we're here today that if I step into eternity, everything's going to be all right because we're going one place or the other. John chapter 5, I'm going to get a couple more verses. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Is that what we want, that everlasting life? And shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto ye, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, that they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at these things, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's no way escaping this. There's no way that we can escape this. It's one or the other. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, starting in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon his name of the Lord, upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. As we're sitting here today, are we saved from that condemnation, from that wrath, from the wrath of God, from that torment? Where are we today? Where's our destiny? We sang a song this morning. I was so blessed with it. 705. I was thinking maybe we could sing that song again here in a little bit. I know we sang it once. But it says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know me through thy pray. See if there be any wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin, fulfilling thy word, and make me pure within. Fill me with fire, where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. May I add just everything. Just take it, Lord. My prayer is that he just searches my heart, every corner of my heart. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Are we willing to go all the way with the Lord? May the Lord bless you.